Hey fellow jet setters, this is Ryan from Journey Pod. Welcome to Journey Pod show number one. Journey Pod is your insider's guide to luxury travel around the world. We'll give you VIP access to the hippest hotels, the coolest restaurants, and the hottest nightlife. You'll be with us every step of the way as we dine like kings and party like rock stars. Think Ferris Bueller meets Robin Leach. Think Carrie Bradshaw meets Arthur Frommer. Each week we'll feature a new city and give you the real local pulse. We'll showcase one or two Journey Pod picks where we put our seal of approval on a select few hotels. Don't worry, we won't cover $800 a night hotels that most of us can't afford. Instead, we'll find some travel gems that are $150 to $250 a night. So if you're tired of staying in big corporate chains where you wake up and don't even know what city you're in, you've come to the right place. I'm guessing if you're listening to any podcast, you're also tired of hearing the same old crap on the radio. Well, we're going to skip all the cookie-cutter hotels with the same old boring run-of-the-mill hotel lobby. We will only feature unique hotels that actually have some personality and flavor. This week we're in Nashville, so come along as we go backstage at the Ryman to discuss Johnny Cash, June Carter, and the movie Walk the Line. Then follow us over to the Lowe's Vanderbilt Hotel, where we flip through a famous jukebox that only has songs by musicians that have actually stayed at the property. People like Elvis and U2. Now I know everyone got all country on me when I said Nashville. I personally don't listen to much country. Let's just say I don't hardly listen to country at all. But I still manage to have a great time on every visit to Nashville. They've expanded past their country and bluegrass roots to embrace all kinds of music, from rock to blues to jazz. Even the Country Music Hall of Fame has something for everyone. Everyone knows if you want to be a movie star, you head over to LA. Well, if you want to make it as a songwriter, you pack your bags and drive down to Nashville. We got to see this firsthand at the Bluebird Cafe. It's kind of like VH1 Storytellers right there in a bar. It's a very intimate setting. You're only about 2 feet away from the stage, and the songwriters take center stage as they play their songs and tell you who they wrote the songs for, why they wrote the songs, and some inspiration behind the songs. Some of you might have seen the Bluebird Cafe featured on the TV show Turner South, but it really is worth a stopover if you're in Nashville. We went from the Bluebird over to another famous music venue, the Ryman Auditorium. The Ryman has some of the best acoustics in the world. It was built in 1892 and has over 100 oak pews set up in a circular pattern, so that's what really gives it that authentic sound. It's one of the famous homes of the Grand Ole Opry. If the walls could talk, they'd tell you all the big guns that have performed over the last century. Anybody from Bob Hope to Johnny Cash to Dolly Parton. Now some of the newer bands like Coldplay, Sheryl Crow, and Oasis are getting the chance to strut their stuff on the stage. So it's nice to see they've again opened it up to all kinds of music. Let's listen in a little bit on my interview I had backstage.
I'm with John Dowell from the Ryman Auditorium. He's giving me a little backstage tour, and we just stepped into the June Carter and Johnny Cash room.
In 1956, a young fella straight from the United States Air Force, who was originally from Arkansas, came here via Memphis. He'd stopped off in Memphis and gotten a recording contract with Sam Phillips and the famous Sun label, also the home of the stable of artists that included Elvis Presley and Roy Orbison and Carl Perkins and Jerry Lee Lewis. And Johnny came here in 56 to be on the Grand Ole Opry as a guest for the first time. And in his own words, that's the night in 1956, my first visit to the Opry was the night I met June Carter. We've been talking ever since. And as Johnny began his country music narratives, or his own brand of folk and country music, he became entwined with folks like Bob Dylan and Kris Kristofferson, wonderful writers and performers in their own right, Steve Goodman and John Prine. Johnny was a fan to many of the younger people that really came in the Garth Brooks, Clint Black, Alan Jackson era in the late 80s, early 90s. One of the stories, his daughter Roseanne befriended Mary Chapin Carpenter, and she had mentioned once that she received a fan letter from Johnny Cash. And he was that kind of a person. He not only was an icon in music, but he recognized others that had that potential as well.
Really interesting for me, I just saw the Walk the Line movie a couple of weeks ago, and there's multiple references to the Ryman and Grand Ole Opry, and it's something to actually be here in Nashville locally and talk to the people, you know, that have know the history of the story, and it's really kind of a nice perspective.
It is. The movie is, of course, an artistic, and they use literary license, and if you will, and some of the things are true, maybe not accurate. Some are accurate, maybe not true. But the story is well portrayed. I particularly thought the actor and actress that played the parts of Johnny and June, and the gentleman that played Elvis, the gentleman that played Jerry Lee, Shooter Jennings portrayed his father, Waylon Jennings, and I thought that they all did such a marvelous job. One thing I was really, this is kind of off the subject, but one thing I was really impressed in the movie was that one of our own local musician Shelby Lynn played Johnny's mother in the movie, and I didn't even recognize her. I'm that impressed with her. I've always been impressed with her as a musician, a singer, and a writer, but I'm really impressed with her as an actress because she brought home Carrie Cash to me. Everybody's talking Oscar for Reese and Oscar for Joaquin, and personally, I think the most growth there was Shelby Lynn. But anyway, back to the Johnny Cash and Carter Room. We could stay in here for hours and I could tell stories, but Johnny Cash came up basically in a nutshell as sharecropper's son, joined the Air Force, started playing guitar and writing his own songs, played with two guys that basically were not outstanding musicians. They became Johnny Cash and the Tennessee Two, and the rest is history. And they did a great job coming in, bringing their own brand of music and staying true to it as long as they were performing it.
Then we went over to the Lowe's Vanderbilt Hotel, which is also downtown over near Vandy and the hospital. It's a hip hotel with a great staff. This hotel is really what JourneyPod is all about, having fun in an upscale setting. As you'll hear in a minute, this property gets all the big celebs and superstars in the music industry. They have 340 redesigned rooms, and they're a AAA Four Diamond property. Let's listen in on my interview at the property.
Okay, I'm with Erwin Fisher, VP of Sales and Marketing of Lowe's Vanderbilt Hotel, and she was just telling me a little bit about the history of the hotel and in particular how they've done a great job of kind of infusing music into the experience for the guest.
About 5 years ago, we really felt like we had a unique opportunity to create a local experience for every guest that came into our hotel. Our customer is a very high-end customer who's busy and sophisticated and looking for something fun and looking for the next new thing. And being in Music City, we have a wonderful opportunity to dovetail on our Music City brand. So we took the opportunity to look at every part of our hotel from the time a guest arrives till the time they depart and create a Music City experience for them while they were in Nashville, whether it was for business or for pleasure. From the minute you walk in the door, you will see a sign, for example, that says, thank you for being our friend. It always credits the songwriter because the songwriter is so important to the city of Nashville, and we felt like it was also a way to give a lot of credit and honor to the songwriters that make us so famous. So you'll see signage when you walk in the door. You'll see signage that is song lyric signage on the concierge desk, on the front desk,
in the elevators,
in the guest rooms, on the banquet menus. Each of our banquet menus is labeled with a song title. It might be for breakfast, Wake Up Everybody by whoever it's by. So that was really fun. Then we decided that we would capitalize on the fact that we've had a lot of celebrities stay here. Most of the celebrities that come into Nashville to tour or to record or to produce do stay with us. So we began to ask them for their CDs and to get a signed CD. And so now you'll see signed CDs placed strategically throughout the hotel. We also have a jukebox in our lobby that our guests can choose whatever music they'd like to play. And the only music on the jukebox is from those guests, celebrity guests who have stayed with us. So it's anybody from Luciano Pavarotti to Bono to the Rolling Stones to Kenny Rogers to George Strait, you name it. They've been here, and their music is on our jukebox.
And let's take a closer look at that jukebox.
Well, let's see. Let's just walk through B.B. King, Aerosmith, Roseanne Cash, Sting, Lynyrd Skynyrd, Annie Lennox, Neil Diamond, Dionne Warwick. Natalie Cole had her wedding here. Simon and Garfunkel. Willie Nelson, Billy Joel and Elton John stayed here when they did a concert in Nashville, and after the concert they came back and played in the bar, and the, you know, 20 or 30 people that were sitting in the bar just thought they'd died and gone to heaven. It was incredible. Willie Nelson, Alabama, Dave Matthews Band, Brooks and Dunn, Widespread Panic, Spice Girls were here, gosh, you couldn't get enough of them when they were hot, Aaron Neville, Phil Vassar. You can just see Jimmy Buffett as Chicago, Nora Jones.
It's quite a who's who. And in case anybody forgot, we were just kind of scrolling through the jukebox here in the lobby, which is filled with songs from artists that have stayed at the property.
And that's going to do it for Journey Pod show number one. Stay tuned next time as we continue our journey through Nashville. For more info on Nashville, check out visitmusiccity.com. Before I sign off, I wanted to talk about our intro theme song. That was everyone's favorite all-girl band, the Lascivious Biddies. We picked the Biddies because they really fit Journey Pod. They're hip, fun, and super talented. You can find more info at biddiesforever.com. We're going to leave you with their hit song, Betty, because if you took Betty out of the song and let her travel around the world, she'd go Journey Pod style all the way.
Betty, who wears patent leather shoes, she just moved from Missouri and she's feeling kind of bruised. She says, hey, 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 to the vendor at Park and 81st. Well, good day, to the mailman as she passes and she sees the city glowing in the morning and she feels that she might burst. I know a wife named Betty who boots. She stays out all night dancing and she likes to play the blues. She says hey to her valet as she rolls in at 6 a.m. A good day to her husband as he rolls his eyes, getting up for work, putting on a smirk, cause he knows that Betty City, it comes first. Betty likes to watch the city wake up as the sun watch the city wake up, and she knows that she could lie here happy and free, and all that she could be. Betty likes to watch the city wake up, and the city says, hey, hey, hey.
From the hot dog cart and the sense of promise in the air, everywhere with the feeling that
watch the city wake up as the sun glides through the sky. Betty likes to watch the city wake up, and she knows that she could die here happy and free, and all that she could be. Betty likes to watch the city wake up.